We start our summer series called Trophies of God's Grace, and the first installment is from Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to ask you for this favor. Look along in your bulletin of the text, not your personal Bible, and once we get through this, there's a method to my madness, then you can use your personal Bible. So let's all look at the bulletin, the text here. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. And when Jesus came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." And they came out and went into the pigs. And behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to... So how do you think the city responded? What did they beg Jesus to do? I can think of a number of reasonable things they could beg Jesus for. For example, the whole city came out to Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to take a thank you gift. "Sir, thank you for delivering us from the terror and torment of these men." Our kids can go to Little League practice that way. They would have nightmares at night hearing these men scream from the tombs. We were in terror, wondering when any of them would break out and come and hurt someone in the town. "Thank you, we're so grateful. Here, take this gift card to the Gadarene Hyatt, all expenses paid weekend for two." Would that have been a reasonable response? All the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to "Explain the source of your power, sir. We have never seen anything like this. No one could help these men. You're the only person that had authority and power over their otherworldly possession. We'd always been intimidated by them. We'd love to know the source of your power. Please bring it into the city and bring good to our city through this power. Bring these two men and they can share their testimony, and other people, in hearing what you've done for them, would long to come themselves under the power of your authority." Would that have been a reasonable response? All the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to "Teach us the ways of God. You obviously have something we lack. No one but God could accomplish this feat. We'd be fools not to capitalize on the opportunity to have God, his word, his authority, his truth in our midst. We will flourish just as these two men have come to do. Under the ways of God, you obviously wanted what's best for these men. You obviously want what's best for our city. Come, please." Would that have been a reasonable response? And the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to "Have mercy on our sins, sir." This calamity, the 2,000 pigs, as Luke reports it, rushing down the bank into the sea. Is this not a picture of judgment? Does this not remind us that we live in a moral universe? We're all under the curse. We will all face the judgment seat of God. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This calamity and tremendous acts of power and nature, they point us to the fact that God holds everyone accountable. "Sir, we should have been the pigs. So please, if you can free these men from torment, free our consciences from the torment of guilt and sin and missing the mark of God's standards. We have nowhere else to go to find cleansing for our souls, to find salvation, to find a new heart, to find relief from the defilement of our hearts and minds. Would that have been a reasonable response? All the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to stay and rule our city. Sir, if you have the kind of authority that commands demons, you must also have authority over human hearts. You could use it to help people, to set them free for a source of good in our society. Unlike so many rulers, they wield their authority to oppress us, to abuse their power, to wield authority for selfish gain, not you. You use your authority to set people free. We beg you, come to our city, rule our city for its good. Would that have been a reasonable response? All the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to come to our homes and heal other people. Sir, we have the sick. We have mentally troubled people. We have the brokenhearted. We have the faint-hearted. We have other demonized people in our homes. Please come heal them. Why wouldn't you? You healed these two men. They didn't even ask for it. Come share your miraculous grace with the people we love. Would that have been a reasonable response? All the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to show us more of your glory. You obviously love to display your glory in the lives of people who are messed up. We humbly plead with you, sir, knowing we don't deserve such grace, rescue our lives from counterfeit glories. Let us come under the power of your truth, your wisdom, your ways. Deliver us from the things we live for that prove to leave us empty. Living for the approval of others, living for money, living for competence, living for comfort, living for our reputation, living for autonomy, living for pleasure. Lord, sir, these are good things that master us until we first live for the glory of God. Would that have been a reasonable response? The whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to teach us principles of stewardship. Lord, now that the pigs are gone, do we have something to learn about how to handle our finances? Is there a reason, sir, we lost the pigs? There are better ways to make money. Tell us if there are principles of stewarding money that make us more holy, that save us from sacrificing greed on the altar, sacrificing generosity on the altar of greed. Would that have been a reasonable response? All the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to explain to us why these men became so tormented. What is spiritual warfare all about? How did they become under the influence of these demons? Self-destructive maniacs, cutting themselves, screaming, breaking the chains we put on them. Teach us that the devil doesn't get the better of us, and by all means, show us how to prevent our children from becoming possessed by demons. What in our culture are gateways that our children might use and come under dark influence? Teach us, sir, we need that. Would that have been a reasonable response? The whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to tell us why you sent the demons into the pigs and not the clouds or the rocks or the fish. Is it because you're demonstrating that Satan loves to destroy things? Or is this catastrophe showing for certain that demons have left those two men? Would that have been a reasonable question? The whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to interpret for us the meaning that these men are now clothed and sitting there in their right minds, as Luke's account reports. Teacher, what exactly does it mean that these once deranged maniacs are content emotionally and mentally and relationally at peace and stable? How would we know if we were in our right minds? How would we know if our interpretation of reality comported with the Creator's definition of reality? Explain to us what true spirituality means. Would that have been a reasonable response? That is not what they beg for. They beg for Jesus to leave the region. That has to be a most patently unreasonable request in light of what has just happened. Look, if truth and beauty and glory and love and the presence of God moved into your neighborhood and everything he touched experienced life on a better plane, why would you ask him to get out of the region as fast as you can? That is insanity. So you're wondering, so am I. Why did they respond this way? I can think of three reasons. One, the townspeople are concerned that Jesus is going to put the mental health professionals out of business. And my response to that is, not all mental health is due to demonic oppression. Some of it is, no doubt, but not all. Second explanation, why they want Jesus to leave the region, is they think Jesus may be there to torment them. I mean, if you were in the presence of a power that you knew could torment you, you'd be fearful. And the text in Luke tells us they were full of fear, a very debilitating emotion that clouds clear-mindedness. My response to that is the only tormented people in the drama, the demonized men, are now free from the principalities of darkness by Jesus' power. He met them in their spiritual prison. So it's not certain Jesus is the tormentor. He has set the tormented free. The only other explanation I can think of is they perceive Jesus poses some threat to their well-being. Clearly, the loss of the pigs creates a substantial disadvantage to them economically. What are you going to do next, sir? Inflict on us a financial 9/11? Are you going to poison our wells? Destroy our crops, impose heavy economic regulations that restrict what we can do with our money? I can't imagine any other reason they would beg Jesus to leave the region. They're driven by their financial security. So you're wondering, what's at the root of their thinking? Well, as I mentioned, Luke's account tells us that they asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So according to the story, who greets Jesus with fear? The demons. Are you here to torment us before the time? The demons recognize Jesus as the Son of God. They call him such. They know that at some point in history, Jesus will command all the spiritual forces of wickedness to depart into the lake of fire. Jesus will put death into the lake of fire. Jesus alone has power to torment the tormentors. And now who's tormented, ironically? The townspeople. They traded fear of the demoniacs for fear of being disadvantaged. Beloved, isn't it sad when fear eclipses the truth? When God asks you to give up something, it's never for your disadvantage. It's only that he loves you. So what is God asking you to give up? How often do you ask the Lord, what do I need to part with, Lord, that is an obstacle to my savoring your glory, that is an obstacle to being in my right mind, that prohibits me from becoming all of the glory of the Christ you're forming me into? What is God asking you to give up? Is it that critical spirit? Is it trusting in your money? Is it overambition? Is it your sloth? Is it lust? What's the Lord asking you to give up? You'll never be in your right mind until you come to grips with that and on a regular basis are with the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to show you, oh yes, this must depart into the sea in order for me to see you, Jesus, more clearly. The Lord only asks you to give up what harms your soul, and he has the power to replace it, beloved, with something better. But for this town, hopefully not your life, life is security. It's money. It's material welfare. So they fear this economic calamity. So the question God is asking you out of the text must be what? How do you define true riches? How do you define true riches? And we find the answer in the richest people in the story. Who are the richest people in the story? The men set free from the demons. And the evidence of that, we're told in Luke's account, they're sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in their right minds. Do you feel the glory of this deliverance? Do you sense the wonder of the exercise of Jesus' power out of love for these undeserving men? Nothing could be better than liberation from this tomb of isolation and death and torment and fear and demonic oppression. Do you believe that nothing's better than that? Or do you take your cues for your welfare from the culture around you? So you have this vivid picture in the narrative, right? These demon-possessed men have moved to a place of peacefully enjoying Jesus. And so it forces you to determine what? How do you know you're in your right mind? The whole town demonstrated wrong-mindedness. So you never determine what's good for you by counting noses in your culture or by taking your cues from the media, from your culture. How do you know you're in your right mind? I believe the text suggests one way to determine right-mindedness, and that is this. What do you make of the exercise of Jesus' power? It's very interesting that the pericope that immediately precedes us in the text, immediately, now you can look at Matthew 8 if you want to, reads this way. Verse 23, when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waters, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm, and the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? The disciples experienced Christ's otherworldly authority and power, and unlike the Gadarenes, they asked the right question. What sort of man is this? Every person in the town should have come out, seen these two men sitting in their right minds, and looked at Jesus and said, what sort of man are you that you do this? And rather, they begged him to leave the region. So, beloved, is Jesus here to torment you? Far from it. The Lord Jesus came to earth to be tormented for you. He took all of his authority and all of his power and used it to come under the condemnation of God, his Father, on the cross to bear his wrath for your sins in your place. When Jesus sees the pigs rushing down into the sea, he knows that is a picture of the judgment he himself will suffer on the cross. He was drowned under the wrath of God to set you free, beloved. What sort of man does that? What sort of man puts him in the place of the judgment you deserve. A man who has all authority over sin, the devil, and death. A man who loves the loveless. A man who has the power to bring you by his righteousness and his work and his spirit to bring you into fellowship with his Father. Is Jesus dangerous? Only to the proud and those who want him to leave them alone. Is that any of you in this room? Honestly, when the day is over, do you want God to leave you alone? Do you live as if you can't get enough of the man who sets you free from the prison of guilt and shame and condemnation and darkness and self? Last question. What will happen to you, beloved, when you really trust the liberating power of Jesus? What will happen? Again, Luke tells us the man from whom the demons had gone begged that they might be with Jesus. You see the progression of the begging? The demons beg Jesus to not torment them before the time. The demons beg Jesus to send them into the pigs. The townspeople come out and beg Jesus to leave the region. And the men set free beg Jesus, stay with us. Don't leave. We can't get enough of you. We want to watch you interact with people. We want to listen to you. We want to savor you until our hearts break out into praise. We want to look at you and gaze at you until we stand in awe of the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ. We want to become intoxicated with your grace and mercy. Stay, Lord. You are life. You are liberty. You are our salvation, our hope, our cleansing, our joy, our righteousness. You are true riches. That's faith. And when that faith transforms you, you will do what these two men did. Luke tells us they went away proclaiming in the whole city how much Jesus did for them. You've got something to say. And so you live with people who don't maybe know it, but are begging for life as it was meant to be. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Let's pray. Oh, what a glory this morning, Lord, to proclaim your authority, your power, your love, your pursuing grace that truly liberates us from darkness and sin and death. Come, Lord Jesus, set us free. And send us to a community in desperate need of your healing grace. All for your glory, we pray. Amen.